recognize that the truths of God are not just something to learn, but something to appropriate to your life and live by. They can be your very life. They should be your very strength, your hope, your comfort. The Word of God should be something not only you live by intellectually, but spiritually. It should be something that you apply to your life, something you make decisions by. It should be your pathway, something that you walk on that way. It should be your philosophy of life. You think that way. The Christian that will take the Word of God as God's Word for him to live by will take it, believe it, hope by it, trust by it, practice it, live by it, is the Christian that will walk evenly and in victory. And it is so important. Oh, I wish I had words to really somehow penetrate into the hearts that need this. It's so important for people that are going on in a fog bank to come against that spirit, that fog, that muddleness, that sleepiness, that spiritual stupor, and to say, I accept the Word of God for me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. It is God's living Word, is God in expression to us, and I take the promise of God for me, and I can do these things. It's not just, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me reference. That is not what it is. That man can't do anything. It's the man who's got convictions that says, I can do all things that God requires, all things that he calls me to. I can do it. If he calls it, he will give strength to do it. If he says to come, he will give power to come. And if God says that he can cause me to sit in heavenly places, he can cause me to sit in heavenly places. And if he can cause me, I will. And if he has given me a will, a free will, I can exercise it. It is a lie I can't exercise it. I rebuke the devil. And if God says rebuke the devil and he will flee, then he will flee. And I rebuke him. Not by saying words, but my whole philosophy. I take the authority of God. If he says I got authority, I've got authority. If he says they've got to go, they have got to go. And I'm going to stick right there until they go. They're defeated. We have got to get dogmatic. We've got to shake ourselves. We've got to get emotional about this thing. We cannot stay in a placid, passive state. We have got to stir ourselves. We need to have a boiling fire inside. We need to have a fire burning in our bones so we can hardly forbear. We need to kill. We have got to get out of the lethargy and move in faith. We have to decide to trust God for everything. This we've got to do, I trust God for. See, too long we've been saying, oh, I can't do this thing. Oh, there'll be no way. I can't know if I can make it. I hope I can. I probably can. See, feel all the time there is a bringing in of the lies of the devil. He storms us with lies. We're facing something difficult, and immediately we start speaking out all the negative. My friend, I adjure you by the living God to cast out those spirits of negativeness and lack of faith and unbelief. And to begin to say, I stand upon the Word, get behind me, Satan. I will not any longer be accused by the devil and take it. I will no longer accuse myself. I won't say those words that God doesn't love me. I won't say the church doesn't love me. I won't say the pastor doesn't love me. I won't say that I am nothing. Those are lies. And you have got no right to call God a liar. You have got no right to smash God's plan. You have no right to say that you as an organ or a member of the body of Christ has no need when God says every member has a purpose and a need. You have got to recognize you sin against God and against yourself. when you go in and say those words of despair, we have got to quit letting our tongues be set on fire of hell. We have got to quit passing on poison to our own mind as well as to other people's minds. We have got to come to grips with the Word of God and say, it's either a lie or it's true. And if it's true, I'm going to believe it and follow it. And if it's a lie, I'm going to abandon the whole works. We have got to quit mouthing one thing and living another. We have got to quit saying, I believe it, and then go and doubt it all. If it's true, you can depend upon it. We have got to quit this willy-nilly actions. And we have got to, as the Bible says, to reprove one another daily. And what's the word? Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. What is called today? Lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have got to get more intestinal fortitude. I've got to say this. Two things. On one side, Christians are too bold to stick their nose into other people's business and to say your hair is getting gray and do you dye your hair and this is falling out and all that. It's none of your business. On the other hand, they're too weak and willy-nilly to stand up and say, Brother, I won't listen to gossip against that person. Brother, I rebuke you in the name of the Jesus Christ. I love you, but I will not hear my pastor aligned and my elders aligned. I will not hear that against my brother or sister. You are a talebearer, and you need to get on your knees and repent. No, I won't bring you. You're a dissident. I won't listen to dissidents. You get right with God. We are too willy-nilly. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on the Church of Jesus Christ that sticks their head in the sand. Willy-nilly. If you don't have enough guts to stand up and speak up for the truth and the Church of God and the Word of God, then shame on you. We have got to know we're living for God and not the devil. Never believe another lie. Don't listen to negative things in your mind. It'll kill you. It'll poison you. It'll bring you under. It'll make you apostatize. It will drain the very life out of you. You can't get healed physically or spiritually or mentally or any other way. You'll go insane. You'll go crazy. You'll take you to the madhouse. You'll backslide. You'll get full of demons. You'll get full of criticalness, poison. Don't take it. We need to set ourselves. I don't mean in anger. I don't mean fleshly. But with a godly righteousness like John the Baptist, who hath forewarned you to flee from the wrath or your vipers. We need to stand and say, Brother, I won't hear that. I stand for truth. God's word doesn't say that. Lay hold of truth, my brother. Let me pray for you. You're under delusion. Don't listen any longer. My friend, every person, I mean business. I really mean this. Now listen to me. Don't lie. If you purpose in your heart right now to make a decision for God, to eliminate the poison from your mind by rebuking it, and make a decision, you will not consciously speak out those things that are negative about yourself or any other person. You have no right. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. You're a son or daughter of God. And you're not your own business. Paul said, I judge not myself. Therefore, if you will honestly before Almighty God and this assembly, purpose, though you will fail at times, but if you fail, you say, I will repent. I will ask God to forgive me and I will renew my efforts and double them. I no longer will speak negative. Negative is killing the Church of Jesus Christ. Quit picking on people. Don't pick on other pastors or none of your business. Don't pass on their infamous deeds and the things they do. Don't tell on others when they do wrong. It's not your business. It's not your business. I want you to say, it is not my business. No, I mean this. The Bible forbids it, and churches are everywhere doing it. If you mean today to make a decision for God in this area, that to the best of your ability, though you be weak, you will do your utmost to remind one another, remind yourself, and renew your efforts, and keep from this poison of negativeness, then stand. If not, don't stand. Now you are making a covenant before God and your pastor this day. Stand for it. Stand for it. And exercise the guts. I want to use the word guts. Exercise it. When you need to tell people that they are not walking in the Word of God. Don't let them get by with it. You say, dear brother, dear sister, you are not walking according to the principles of God. When you speak contrary to the Word of God against your brother or sister or yourself and says negative things, let's repent now about that. I will pray for you. Whether they take it or not, do not fear them. Reprove them in the Spirit, carefully, with love. Amen? Thank you. You may be seated. Yesterday, to qualify something, please listen very carefully. Concerning the vow that we took this evening, and to me it's a very serious and important vow. Do you feel that way?
Yes.
Do not bring this carnally to one another or to your spouse. Do not say, there you go. Say, do not jump. You're doing this. Don't throw something in the face. I hate that when I see a husband and wife do to each other, just throw something in each other's face. There you go. See, just throw it. Don't do this carnally. All right. Don't argue with the individual if they want to argue about it. If they want to argue about it, they're defensive. You just say, dear brother, I'm doing my job as the pastor asked. You're going to have to decide whether it fits. And let it drop. Pray for them. You can shut your eyes right there where they're arguing. Just pray for them. Not pharisaically. Always remind gently. Remind them gently. There are cases under with certain people you have to remind very firmly. But you do it as unto the Lord for helping purposes, not for judgmental purposes. Do you understand? It's important. Now, if we all do this consistently with one another, before the year ends, we would have broke that demonic habit that is everywhere in the church. We can, as a church, break that habit if we will decide to take it from our spouses and our friends. Take it, my friend. Be big about it. See, you all so say, you're right, I'm wrong. Thank you for reminding me. I rebuke you, demon. Lord, forgive me. Don't argue about it. Well, you do too. Well, you do worse. Don't fuss about it. Accept it. Admit you're wrong. And repent. And if we'll do this, the most wonderful thing will happen. By the end of the year, not speaking negatively anymore is going to allow truth and the angels of God and God's Spirit to move us in realms He has not been able to before. It's the greatest hindrance to the Church of Christ to have this negativeness in the body. And if we can get rid of that, because the whole Bible moves on faith, and if we can speak truth and faith, we would have gone a long way to defeat the devil. Will you do it? Will you do it? Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. I would like to say something tonight to give hope to a lot of you people that have been struggling to enter into God's presence, and you feel like, I can't do it. And I want to guarantee you that you can't do it. And when you say, I can't seem to get there, I don't know how to yield, I don't know what it means, I don't know what they're talking about exactly, I don't know what you're supposed to do, I have tried everything. I've tried everything I've heard. I keep listening, it doesn't compute. And if I try it, it doesn't work. I don't get any place. I'm as dead and dry as before. I don't know how to get there. I want to tell you, my friend, something that will really help you. If you will listen to your pastor and believe me, it can set you free from any despair on that account. First of all, that's got nothing to do with you getting there. That's the first piece of good information. It's got nothing to do with it. Secondly, there is nothing that you can do to get yourself there. Nothing. You have to come to the place where you, well, I shouldn't say you have to, but generally you will come to a place to realize, Lord, if you don't give me a bus ride to heaven, I won't get there. I mean, unless you stop by and put me in your chariot and take me there, I'm not going to get there. And that's right. You see, there was nothing that Elijah could do to be out-translated. Until God came down and put a whirlwind around him and snatched him up, nothing he could do. Nothing he could do. Nothing. But when God brought it down, simple. Hey, Elisha, how'd you do that? Easy. Nothing to it. Wasn't simple. It's easy to go for a ride. Once the ride comes and takes you and whirks you away, that's not difficult. Easy to fly when a tornado's behind you. Good to see Eric Ream here. God bless you. All the way from Switzerland. God bless you. Good to see you this evening. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I want to tell you. This is really important. Steve Border won't mind waiting when I tell you this. And that is, if you say to yourself this, all right, I have struggled and strived and tried and find that I cannot get there. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to yield. I don't know what it means. But, based on what the pastor says, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to tell you to do and how to get there. I'm going to give you some concrete specifics on how to get into that realm. What you do is say, I realize I can't get there unless he takes me. So number one, I believe my pastor that he will take me. Now you have no way to prove or nothing, no data at your disposal that can properly lead you to conclude that he will never come and get you. If it relies on you, you got something behind you. If it relies on God, you got nothing. Nothing to put up. Now, see, I am going to obey the word of God to the very best of my ability. I'm going to make a decision to do everything God says to do. I'm going to, my whole heart and life is going to be to please God. I'm just going to sell out to God. Since I can't get through that realm, I'm just going to live for him. I'm going to please him. I'm going to make sure his heart is happy with me. I am going to rebuke the devil. You can do that. I'm going to make a stand against sin. You can do that because you have a will. See, I'm only telling you things you can do now. I'm going to make a decision to believe what God says, whether it seems to make sense or there's any indication of it. She didn't seem to make an awful lot of sense when Jesus said to Peter, come on the water. But I decide I'm going to believe God, that if God says this will happen, it will happen. I'm going to believe all of God's word. I'm going to practice God's word. I am going to walk in God's word. I am going to quit thinking negatively, and I'm going to decide I will not be in despair. God knows I'm healed. He has saved my soul. He has... How'd you do that? He's filled me with the Holy Ghost. How did you do that? He's healed me. How did you do that? He did it. All you had to do is believe that he's not a liar. That shouldn't be difficult. And you have to believe he has enough power. That shouldn't be difficult. And if you decide, I am going to live for God. And now, here's the next step. You have to ask. See, I'm asking. Ask beyond yourself. I am asking for these things. I'm going to continue to ask. And I'm going to walk beyond myself and talk beyond myself. That's important, and you can do it. I am going to sing beyond myself. What I mean by that is, you're saying, well, I don't know if I don't feel like I got, I don't know if I got, I know I love them, but I don't really feel like I have. You sing beyond yourself by faith. Lord, I love you. I know my love is not as full-blown as it should be. I'm asking you to strengthen my love, but I'm going to do all I can to feel love for you, and I'm going to express that I love you even as I love my children or my spouse. Whether or not I feel something emotionally at the moment, I know I always love them. And if I am busy doing something and I feel no love, I know I love them. And I know I love them because I will take care of them and I'd be concerned about them. And I know I love you because I'm concerned about myself, I'm concerned about you, and I'm concerned about you. Look, I want you to win. I can't say, well, it's neutral, but God wins or the devil. No. You kill. You really do kill. And you're continually in God's house, you come out, you pray, so whether you feel it or not, so you do love him. Whether you feel it or not, you love him, so you express it, you sing, I love you, and everything, you don't just do it with your words, but you with conviction, you say, I love you, I do love you, and I ask to love you more, and I'm going to endeavor to love you more, and I'm going to, and Lord, just love me, and I refuse to be panicked, I refuse to get discouraged, I am going to say, Lord, I am here, and when you're ready for me, fine. If you will do that and seek to please God with all your heart, you'll neglect not the assembling of yourselves together, and all the more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching, and you'll praise him, and you'll love him, and you'll minister to others, and do good to others, and you'll enter in. You won't say, well, I can't enter in. You say, no, I can enter in. I am going to sing when they sing. I'm going to praise when they praise. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to put my body there. I'm going to act beyond myself. If you will consistently do this, I will promise you that God will break barriers, lift you up. It won't all come at once necessarily. Set you more free, give you more hope continually. And then someday you'll find yourself picking another realm and you'll just be there. You don't grow your way into it. All of a sudden, he seizes you by the Spirit and places you there. And as I testified, when I had that experience to go in the spiritual realm, I felt like I was in limbo. I did not know what was wrong. I ministered to others under anointing, but I couldn't seem to feel it myself. I wasn't feeling a lot of fervor zeal. And I was praying all day anyway. See, I kept praying, pray beyond yourself. Keep doing it anyway. That's the secret. And then, all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord dropped it on me, and I knew I was going. And he did it. He did it. I didn't do it. I had no secret. I did not come into anything I did not know before. I did not do anything I didn't know before. I didn't do anything. I walked in the room, heard it, felt it on me, and said, Lord, I'm going. Take the ship. I knew I was going. I didn't do anything. Just come from eating, walked in the room, felt the Spirit calling me home. I knew I was going. Then it's not hard because you won't have to do it. It will happen to you. I'll guarantee it. Now I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you a secret on these that have all these wonderful experiences. Had problems too, most of them. And lots of them wondered if they would ever be there. And they had dryness, and they had doubts, and they strived, and they tried, and they did everything possible, and they didn't know how either.
But they kept on playing. They went to retreats anyway. Went to deliverances anyway. They kept doing. And they wobbled. A lot of them wobbled. They had their times. But God took them now. And God's no respecter of persons. So never doubt again. Don't say, I can't get there. Can't is the only thing that will keep you from getting there. The negative confession would be the only thing that will stop you. And if you say, I know I will. God is faithful. The promises to me as well as to others. I got to the Holy Ghost as well as other people. God loves me. I am His child. He's going to take care of me. But I'm going to pursue zealously God and His righteousness and His truths and to seek to please Him and to speak faith. Faith, that's important. Keep speaking faith. Keep kicking away the devil and speaking faith. And if you do that, you'll get there. Honestly, you will. And this should set your mind and heart at peace from now on. Never doubt it again. God sees you there, and when you really mean business, and remember, you don't earn it. See, when I meant business now, don't play that game with God. He'll just make you keep going. As long as you think you're going to earn it, you go ahead and earn it. It'll keep you another 2-3 years where you try to earn it. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to get good enough. You're never good enough. Just seek to love Him and praise Him and enter in and speak faith, and someday you'll be gone, brother. Amen. I feel faith in God. Hallelujah. I feel that God's going to do a wonderful thing. Because faith is high. And people are willing. And we are moving for God. Praise God. Before this year ends, I believe we are going to see us move into a spiritual realm that we've never before experienced. Now, I don't mean all of us and wholesale and enormous, but I believe what I'm trying to say is in a very few months, before a few months passes, we're going to see a big difference. We are on the beginning of a new wave of God. And anything can happen. Brother, anything can happen. Just keep believing God. Remember this. The devil is mad. He's alarmed. He'll come to you and try to do something to get you out of your ministry. You'll feel tiredness. You'll find tiredness coming upon you. Rebuke the devil. Don't just say, well, I'm getting awfully tired. Come against it in the name of Jesus. You may get attacks, but my friend, stand. Don't drop out. Don't drop out. The devil has tried to intimidate me. Where would I be if I listened to him? Where would I be if I listened to him? Where are you going to be if you listen to him? He'll bring you out of ministry, and he'll bring you out of something else, and he'll bring you out of something else. He'll take you all the way down step by step. Don't be a dropout. Don't be a dropout. Stay right there in God. Now, I've got to make a quick announcement. Ron Myrick asked. Camp meeting now is next week, Friday night, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday, twice on Monday. The evening services will be televised. I would like for you to ignore the television entirely. Do not let it stifle your worship. Don't worry about it. Just forget it and worship the Lord. I would like to request that you really let go and love God and worship Him. I would like to request of you as your pastor that you don't get bottled into trying to do something proper, music ministry, minister to them, or be conscious of everything and who's here and how many people and the crowds and watching people, watch the ushers bring in more chairs. Don't do that. Get locked into God and love Him and worship Him and forget everybody and everything but the Lord. Don't worry about the length of the service or who does this or what happens. That's my responsibility. You just forget it. You just get lost in loving God. Love Him. Every song, sing it with all your heart. Everything you do, do it with all you can. Take time to wait upon God between services. Take time to pray. Take time to really let this change your life. We have already got over 100 groups, if my information is correct, wanting to pray all over the building. We're going to use every single room and even sections of the sanctuary between services. We will have space after and before services right here for everybody to use. But then there could be groups all over waiting. They've asked to be praying between services. A wave of prayer is going to go up. This is a time to totally sell out. This is the time to say, I'm going to quit this lame brain, half, you know, willy-nilly, weak-kneed, you know, Christianity, and I am going to see what it's like to sell out for God and live for Him. This is the time to strip yourself, amen, brother, strip yourself from every piece of carnality, everything that's holding you back from running the race with patience. This is the time to change your whole manner of thinking and living and directing it totally on God and say, this is the beginning of a new life for me in Jesus Christ. And I would like to urge you to be praying, prayed up for camp meeting. Thursday evening, before camp meeting, there'll be prayer all evening long. Is it all day for sure? All day long on Thursday, before camp meeting, for prayer. One more thing. Come to camp meeting rested. Don't be up late night before and be all worn out when you start. Because there's going to be a marathon, and you need to get into it and be rested physically. So get rested up. Get your hearts all prepared by faith. Be prayed up. And enter into that with all you have, my brother and my sister. And God will bless you. We can have a revival in this place. The Holy Ghost is going to move. I am believing God. Faith is high. God is going to do wonderful things. God bless you.
You were a report that that which happened to me that's waiting for each one of you has not ceased happening. And oh, how I long to have you experience just one scripture that I've experienced. And that is that he came to his own and his own received him not. The fact that I have experienced how Jesus felt when his own received him not has transformed my dedication to the Lord. I will never, ever, ever again not receive one scripture verse that comes up from the pulpit. I will never, ever again not receive his love for me. Oh, because I know now how he felt when he came to his own and his own received him not. You are his own. He's coming to you. Will we be a church that passes him away? Will we be a church that rejects his word? Will we be a church that refuses his love? Will we not allow him to love us? Will we not receive his love for us individually? Oh, let's be his own that does receive him, that will receive him. Let's not cause his heart to break again. You know, I never realized what it would be like to have a union with the glorified Son of Man. But it's a very heart-rendering thing. It isn't all glory, believe me. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And every experience so far that I have experienced has had the heartache in it, and the awful heartache and the rejection that Jesus experienced. Another thing he allowed me to experience, the altar of incense. Oh, I can't wait for my study on prayer class. I don't know how I'm going to put it into words yet to explain to you what your prayers mean to Jesus. Oh, every single word that you whisper to him. Oh, if you knew how it ministers to him. If you knew how he treasures every single word uttered, every expression of your love, every single communication that you send heavenward. Oh! You would not waste any time with just idle thinking in your mind, but you would be praising him and worshiping him. When you wake up at night, you would find a worship and a communication on your lips. These experiences are waiting for you. They're waiting for you tonight. Right now, as you come forward to wait upon him and to love him, he wants to bring each one of us into experiencing Jesus, being united with Jesus, becoming that Son of Man manifested on this earth, becoming the living Word. Oh, it's going to happen to you, and it's marvelous beyond words. It's going to transform your walk with Jesus. And again, I'd like to remind you, just enter in and receive his love. Give him your love and worship and praise him and accept everything that he's doing and that he will do and that he does. And you will find yourself being united with the Word of God and experiencing it and Jesus like you'd never dream possible. Hallelujah, for he is faithful.
Before we close tonight, quickly, I do feel I need to mention two more things. One is, you know, if you're always wrapped up in, oh Lord, give me, give me, give me, make me feel better and take me higher, make me feel and all this, you're not traveling in that realm. God's not moving you up. Why don't you just say, Lord, I'm going to get my eyes off myself, and I'm going to just seek to please you, and I'm going to do lots of expressing my love to you. You see, if you love him, he'll love you. You gotta keep begging for his love. He loves you more than you love yourself. He wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it. It isn't a God waiting to be begged. And so, you don't have to keep begging and begging him. You get so wrapped up in getting some feeling and getting the status quo and being in the elite group. But he doesn't want all that. That's hindering you. Just love him. Just thank him. Minister to others. Spend yourself. And see if God doesn't reward you with his love.